And welcome to our first ever This Week on Channel 9 Live. We are live. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm not Brian Keller. I'm Nick Fillingham.
Yes, and we are streaming live.
We are live. Live on the interwebs right now.
I know. This is a Channel 9 first, if you will.
It is a world exclusive. This has never been done in the history of the intertubes, ever.
So one thing to keep in mind, if you're joining this after, say, 3:05 or so, anytime afterwards, that specific time, you want to click the Go Live button because it'll start when the recording starts. But if you want to jump to the live stream, make sure to click the Go Live button. You should see it somewhere.
It's kind of down yeah. here. And the player has a built-in DVR function, so you can actually scroll back in time and then come forward again to see bits you missed, which is very cool. But it means if you come in after 3 p.m., you may not be at the exact live point. So press that and you'll go to live.
Okay.
Cool.
So, and speaking of live, we are taking comments, questions, ideas on CH9 Live. So join Twitter. If you haven't joined Twitter, you can actually send us questions. And we see some folks sending us comments. I think was it Corporal Carrot said, be the first to say hick, cheers.
Hick. So is it high or is it hick as in hiccup?
I think there's some people drinking while they watch the show, and there should be a Channel 9 drinking game.
Well, yeah, and it is. I think it's midnight in Europe at the moment, or it's somewhere. It's nighttime. It's drinking time.
Yes. So yeah. Send us questions, comments, and let's jump into it.
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, so first thing is MSN's new homepage has launched. So actually, it's still in preview. They're rolling it out to over 100 million people. Mm-hmm. They do have a version. If you go, is it preview.msn.com?
Preview.msn.com, yeah.
There are a lot of cool features. What do you think about this design?
I really like it. I'm in the camp that I think the MSN website is great, but I think that the layout that currently exists, if you go to msn.com, and the layout that we've seen for a while, it's getting a little bit dated. There's mm-hmm. a lot of information there. Sometimes I think it's a bit of an information overload. So the new layout, thumbs up from me. I like it. It's cleaner. It's spaced out a lot. I think the spacing's quite good. And yeah, I like it. Thumbs up.
Yeah, it seems like a very clean design. I think the other thing that I have to say is I've become addicted to MSN. Like, at first I was like, just setting it as my default homepage. Those stories always have a way to suck me in. It's like, 9 ways to, you know...
How to use toothpaste to get that stain out of your sock.
Yeah, it's always like, or random career advice, or, you know, like, is your wife cheating on you? Well, I hadn't thought about it. Maybe I should read the 9 ways to tell.
Yeah.
So, this is awkward.
we're live, by the way.
Yes, we are.
Okay, cool. Let's just move straight along.
the other cool part about MSN is that it's actually using Bing.
It is.
So Kristen Mendel went through the details of exactly the integration, but it includes Windows Live, Facebook, and Twitter. So you get a sort of the social interactions, the best parts about Bing, bringing the local information in, bringing the social fabric, social media directly into the Bing experience.
So, all right, so we potentially have our first tweet that we want to actually reference here.
Yes, and this is...
Charlie Erickson, who has said, at Channel 9 Live, would people use MSN if it wasn't because of the fact it's the default homepage in IE7? Oh, yeah, you have little faith.
Yeah, so I would normally say... think not.
Right.
But once you actually start using it, I'm telling you, I became addicted to it. And yeah. Because they have great stories and great headlines, and even yesterday with some of the tragedy that happened in Texas with the shootings at the military base, just being able to see the red headline and being able to have sort of that instant preview, I think MSN is going to stay my homepage forever.
Sure, and you know, the MSN team, you know, I'd love to go and visit their command center because from what I understand, it's a really big team. They've got a huge news editorial desk, and I think it's 24/7. You know, these breaking news alerts, they come. So I think they would. Charlie Erickson, and that's also proving that we are live right now.
Yes,
exactly. That tweet came in at 5:03 p.m., and greetings from Poland. Who's that? Wisniewski? Hello, Poland. Thanks for watching.
All right, so we have absolutely two customers. We have
two people.
Yeah!
Plus Larry Larson here, who's bringing up the rest of the viewers. Zune!
Yeah, so let's talk. You just got this.
I just got this yesterday, and I'm really excited. I just got my hands on a Zune HD, which I love. Now, I know I'm not the cutting edge of new devices. It's been out for a little while, but this is fantastic. And I, you know, play a lot with video. I love Windows Live Movie Maker. I think it's a fantastic tool, and the fact that it's free is just insane. So I think the Windows Live team have just released two new official profiles that plug into Windows Live Movie Maker that's now part of the Windows Live Essentials suite that allow you to render your movies in a format specifically for playback on the Zune HD, mm-hmm. and then a second profile that is for playback through the Zune HD to your HD device with the HD dock. So that's really good because I think people were hacking together their own profiles based on the settings for the player, but now this is an official one. It's a download. It goes into Movie Maker. And if, like me, you have a Zune HD, and by the way, it's not available outside of North America, but if you do happen to, you know, find certain websites that start with E and end with Bay and get your hands on one, even without access to Zune Marketplace, I love it. Fantastic device. It's and the Zune 4.0 software, it's fantastic. I'm a Zune fanboy, so, you know, I need to be honest here, but love it. Great device. And this is cool, too, because I like to make my own movies.
Yeah, very cool. We've been using Movie Maker for baby videos, and my wife just instantly cuts them with. We have a Creative Auto,
cool.
And Movie Maker is great. It does. It now has the features to do the edit before edit end, which you didn't have in the first betas of the Windows Live Essentials. Now that's in there.
That's great. Do we need to? What do we got up here? Okay, so Jay Bristow. Oh, right. So has asked for a Bill O'Reilly reference.
We have been cursing like sailors.
We really have.
We'll do it live! Every time. So, yeah. There's our reference. We'll
there's
do some
our,
more.
There's our Bill O'Reilly reference. And of course, there's no words on it! Anyway, there we go. Okay, moving right along.
What is that? There's no words there.
There's no words there!
We got Iceland, so now...
Greetings from Iceland.
Now, somebody named Carmine...
Come on.
That
oh,
happens to have
God.
Charles's act. Why is Dan so strange? Hey, Nick, take some depressants, will you?
Why is Charles on Twitter? That's like the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. It's dogs and cats living together. That movie 2012, that was part of the plot.
Okay. Sorry, Larry has just highlighted Carmine 007, which is Charles Torrey, has said, how does this tweet crap work? So good to see he's not standing in front of the microwave again trying to enter in his email address. Let's keep going.
Excellent. So... speaking of Zune, we just talked about some of the new profiles. This is a very light connection here, but the Expression Blend team has built a set of starter kits. If you want to learn how to build Silverlight 3 applications, they take building your own sort of Silverlight 3 fan site, Zune fan site with Silverlight 3, where you can actually build in motions, behaviors, use some of the 3D tools, use Silverlight out of the browser. So in the starter kit, you'll get like four projects. Everything's available open source, and it's built to work in Expression Blend as well. Sometimes you'll find XAML that doesn't load in Blend. These are built specifically for Blend.
Sure, and the Zune reference here is, this is just the subject matter they're using for the samples.
Right. So like you can see the little dots. When you load the live example, it actually switches the colors.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Good.
Winter Olympics, speaking of Silverlight.
Winter Olympics, speaking of Silverlight, and actually this is a really nice segue because what we are doing kind of right here, right now, live on the Intertubes, is kind of like a little baby version of what the Silverlight team are going to be doing with the Winter Olympics.
Yes.
So these guys are going to be offering a full, smooth streaming, high-definition experience through Silverlight for adaptive streaming, which basically means that the quality of the stream that you're kind of downloading through your player is adapted on the fly based on the bandwidth of your internet connection, which is really
sure.
cool. And it's high definition, up to 720p, which is fantastic. So this is really cool, the Winter Olympics on Silverlight. And it's kind of what we're doing right now. It's that same team that's been helping us. The player that we're using is very similar as well. And so we're kind of... Can we claim that we're kind of beta testing for these guys?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But I will say there'll be a lot more features than the Winter Olympics. You'll be able to do like things like rewind, slow motion, a lot of cool features in that player. But in terms of other events that people will know, PDC is coming.
It is.
And we're going to be doing live streamings with a version of this player as
sure.
well. So for those of you, mark your calendars, you'll be able to see the keynote streamed live as well.
Yeah, and watch this space, too. Let's just kind of leave it there for maybe some more PDC news
coming
up with Channel 9. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days.
Yes, excellent.
Cool.
And I have to say I'm really excited for the Winter Olympics because they're coming in Vancouver. And if the U.S. hits the medal rounds, I am going to be, you know, blowing the kids' tuition to college to be able to go to those hockey games.
You're a fantastic father.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Excuse me for moving forward and squinting, but I'm looking at the big screen here that Larry set up for us to see all the tweets. What do we got here?
Let's see. We got a question. How many people are watching live? I think we're up to five. I think we're up to five to six people
it's,
watching
it's
it
It's five and a half because Laura Foy's actually got the player running, but she's just gone off to get a coffee, so so we're not quite there. And, yeah, Dahat, D-A-H-A-T, has said, yes, call my optometrist. I need a new prescription for my glasses because I'm kind of leaning forward and squinting at the screen. But, yeah, thanks very much. I'll do that. Moving ahead.
So Twitter from Outlook. So this is an app that got renamed to Twinbox.
Twinbox.
So for people that haven't seen this Channel 9 video, and it shows how to do this. Now, here's the thing. I've started to go into the world where I had a Twitter client that was integrated into Outlook. I like having my Outlook integration separate. I'm starting to realize I follow hundreds of feeds for This Week on Channel 9.
Sure.
I'm using a separate RSS reader just for RSS because I get overwhelmed.
We should point out that's really what you do. That's your full-time job, which is just the at Channel 9 Live. It's this video. You just come to work on a Friday,
if
and you're
only
here for about 45 minutes, and then kind of
if only. But the problem is when you have thousands of unread blogs,
sure,
and hundreds of unread messages.
Builds up.
Yeah, I start feeling literally stressed. But this is, you know, what Twitter account do you use?
My personal
Twitter
account?
Tool.
I was using TweetDeck, and now I'm using Dbule or Bduel.
Bduel. Yes, I'm using Bduel as well.
I really like it. I had the Sobeys, the full Sobeys interface.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get my head around it. But I really liked Bduel. And speaking of Twitter, question from I'll stop squinting. Dorian has said, why is the name of the Silverlight player at PDC? Very simple answer, because we're actually testing on behalf of the PDC team. So the player that you're watching the stream on right now is essentially the code base for the PDC player we'll be streaming the keynotes from. So we're kind of helping those guys out by testing their player. Apologies, we should have renamed that Channel 9. We just didn't get around to that.
Cool.
All right.
Let's get into some Windows 7 stuff.
Cool.
One of the things, and this is from Longzen's blog, Windows 7 sponsored themes.
Okay.
So we have the Halloween special with Laura Foy, who's
yep.
Who's tweeting it up. And one of the things we took is another post Long had done on how to build a Flickr RSS feed. So I put the pictures from the Halloween special into Flickr and use the code to build a dynamic Flickr RSS feed based on user and tag.
Okay.
But one of the cool parts is these are actually sponsored ones. And I'm using the Bing one right now because the pictures are absolutely gorgeous.
They're beautiful, yeah. And sponsored in the sense that there are companies out here. I mean, I'm just looking at your screenshot now. Coca-Cola and Ducati and Honda and all these guys are getting together and putting together themes. So these are sponsored themes, but they're fantastic photography. So if you're looking for some high-quality imagery that's just not the standard stuff that comes with Win 7, this is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Another announcement was from Microsoft Press, and this is sort of like their roll-up. They normally give like one free chapter per book, and this includes books for IT pros, and this is like the Pocket Administrator's Guide to Windows, how to do user administration for developers. Yohai Kiriati, who's a Channel 9 regular.
He sure is.
I believe his chapter is the Windows 7 taskbar.
Okay.
So that's available for developers as well, and some of the step-by-step, like introducing Windows 7, all available for download.
Great.
For free.
And so you can, you know, download these, print them out, bind them, and, you know, you've got a desktop reference.
Yes.
Kind of.
Sure.
Actually, let's just quickly go to the big Twitter board. I'm going to stop squinting, Dahat. I apologize. Eric Porter has just said he loves Twinbox, so that's kind of good. And Wisniewski from Poland has said it's not about the quality.
It's not the amount, it's the quality.
Ah, okay, cool. What's that a reference to?
I don't know. I thought you were going to say that's what she said, so I was a little worried there. But
that wasn't me. For the record, that was him.
Okay,
right. Moving right along.
Jinx.
That was my Brian Keller impersonation.
I'm just happy we can edit this.
Yeah. Anatomy of a Windows 7 taskbar thumbnail.
Yeah, so what this does is Rudy Grobler goes through, you've probably seen, if you're running Windows 7, the ability, I have multiple browser tabs open or multiple instances of IE, I can see dynamic thumbnails in a preview. What this allows you to do is, as a WPF developer, is actually control that preview. So it shows you how you can programmatically say, okay, I want to be able to preview, let's say I'm building an image editing tool, I want to show this in these specific preview thumbnails and actually control that experience, and all the XAML around how you actually go about doing that.
And those thumbnails are actually generated automatically. So there can be, there's a basic thumbnail that you can get that's already created by the taskbar.
Correct.
But this is if you want to go in and actually manipulate that process or do some customization.
Yeah, yeah. So Rudy's done a lot of blog posts on quick bar integration, some of the things around file progress, like how you do the nice file explorer when some, or IE explorer when something's downloading, or copy progress, where you see the progress directly in the icon. And these are just cool examples of how you can sort of take advantage of the taskbar.
Cool. How are we going for time? Are we good? Everyone's good? Getting thumbs up across the board.
Ooh. I got a great question. This decides whether you're going to be on the show. Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Aniston.
Let me think about that while we go through.
There's no thinking about it.
I think I'd have to say Jennifer Aniston.
Are you kidding me?
That's like, you know, do you like peas or milk? I mean, that's
no.
There's no real clear winner there.
What?
All right, sure, I'll go Angelina Jolie. I don't mind.
No, see, whatever.
Larry says both. Larry can't decide. Angelina Jolie or Jen?
Absolutely.
And we're obviously talking
Team
about
Jolie. Thank you very much.
Who you want as your neighbor. I mean, that's the reference here, obviously.
Well, which side are you taking in the Brad Pitt battle?
The Brad Pitt battle. He's the guy with the... Anyway, let's move right along.
Okay, so a download
My pop culture
tool.
References are failing here terribly.
I don't know. I got to get more TMZ. People on Team Jolie.
I don't read TMZ. I'm sorry.
And great. Thanks for ratting me.
Okay.
Okay, so VHD attach. So now this tool is specifically for Windows 7 and Server R2. But what it allows you to do is you have VHD files, and those are virtual hard drives,
yep.
And you can actually boot into those with Windows 7. Is you can attach it and basically mount it. Get access to the data, so maybe you want to back files up, copy projects over, whatever. This tool just makes it that much easier.
So without this tool, how do you go about doing this?
I think there is...
It's obviously a much more manual process, but what do you do?
I think there's a disk mount utility that allows you to do that, but it's probably not as easy as, say, right-clicking on a file.
Yeah, this is like a shell extension, right-click, attach, open. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So, stuff to play with. Okay, and I think we've got a question. What are your thoughts on MonoTouch? It'd be interesting to know.
Well, I think before that, we should say that Chris NTR has said that Channel 9 Live is awesome. And I think that we should be highlighting that praise.
Yeah,
because it's the first praise we've got. Has anyone actually said that they like us, or is it just Chris? Thanks, Chris. We like you too. All right.
We pay him well.
Mono, what was he saying? Mono price?
So MonoTouch. MonoTouch is a set of tools that allows you to actually build applications for your iPhone.
Cool.
So, I actually talked to Miguel de Casa at Mix08.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were maybe even recording that video.
I may have actually been behind the camera.
And
there.
It was the first time he was discussing building tools that would enable that to happen. And to me, this is absolutely very cool. As far as the developer goes, you know, I don't know. For .NET developers, this is awesome.
Right.
Chances are there's going to be companies that you're going to be asked to build, you know, our company wants to be able to build iPhone applications rather than having to relearn Objective-C and relearn different tools, relearn everything. You can just use MonoTouch. I have seen people about the one complaint is price, but, you know, there's not much you can do there. If it saves you productivity, I'm of the, if you can save me several hours, I will pay the price there.
Cool. We'll keep sending those questions through for Dan. That's great. We had, who was that, Larry? Find Gogi?
I think there was a question on will there be more live
talks? Will there be more live talks at PDC? So is it going to be just the keynotes, or will there be more live talks? Some other talks is the question.
Perhaps.
What an interesting question.
That we're not going to answer.
No, we're not going to answer that yet. No. Just like I didn't answer the Angelina Jolie or Jennifer. Oh, no, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Let's move right
on. That was disheartening. Moving along. Link Light. So Brad Abrams had a link to this, and this is...
That's the thing that you plug into the baseboard when you go to sleep so that you can kind of get up and not hit your things.
Not so much.
Oh, night light.
So...
That was really not funny. Keep going.
No. Language Integrated Query, Link, allows you to play program data really easily.
Cool.
But you want to be able to build a provider for Link, and there's some, I don't want to say ugly, but some expression tree language that maybe you don't want to do. This kind of takes so you have a template or framework, a really light framework for making your stuff better integratable in Link. So
cool.
if you're building some sort of Link provider, and we've talked about a bunch of Link providers already, so like I can use Link over my email and say, you know, get all messages where, you know, sender equals this and date equals that, and send me back this nice collection of emails that I can then play with. We've talked about those. This is how you go ahead and build that provider.
Okay, cool.
And I think we got a question or comment.
Oh, what was it like creating the killer bug video? Now, this is a reference to the Halloween piece
yes.
that Laura Foy has put together in conjunction with a few other folks. Dan, you were the star of this video.
Yeah, so I wasn't so much acting as...
as freaking out.
You know,
which you did. I mean, you freaked out. You kind of... it was like 2 a.m. It was like 3 a.m. in the bowels of Building 24 here at Microsoft.
Actually, it was probably till 2 a.m.
You're covered in chocolate sauce, a woman's blouse...
Yes.
With CDs like ninja stars, just kind of throwing them randomly. What was it like? Walk us through it, Dan.
It was very exhausting just because every day I'd been working 12 to 15 hours, and then it's just another day
working
that was...
12 to 15 hours.
It was really kind of crazy, but a lot of caffeine.
A lot of caffeine.
And I get into my parts, and I totally understand. It was a character that rejected the digital world.
You are a method actor. I mean, everyone knows that about you.
It really was, like, this is probably one of the funniest things. One of the breaks, I would, like, show Laura, and I was holding the CD so hard, my finger had turned blue, and she's like, oh, my God.
It was fun, though? You had fun?
Understanding the character that is so stressed out, because I myself was so stressed out and completely rejects... And, like, rather, in a digital world, what's he going to kill people with? A representation of the digital world, except he's going to do it in a physical way. And I really understood that character.
I think I would have loved to have seen, you know, perhaps you try and tweet them to death or something. I don't know how that would kind of work. But
well, see, I thought people were going to make fun of, like, all the CDs we were throwing and be like, yeah, that's how many it takes to install Visual Studio, because there's, like, 40 discs.
We're doing tish.
Yeah.
Question, Larry. Oh, yeah, what's next? Well, actually, just before we answer that question, I would love to see more Channel 9 in the kind of film noir, black and white style. I wonder if we could kind of see this week on Channel 9 with the, you know, the 1930s-esque style, you know, costumes. And, you
I
know,
finally get to smoke cigars.
Smoke cigars.
Yeah, sure.
But the question is, what's next for Channel 9 lectures?
So that is actually a good point. Charles has, and kudos to Charles and Eric Meyer for this. The reaction has been awesome for
really
Channel
good.
9 lectures. So, we're definitely, Charles is already thinking about other lectures. Some lectures won't be as, I'd say, like a 13-part series.
Sure.
Like the functional programming one. It may just be one or two, and it's just one person talking about, you know, interesting things on how genetics, the economy, and the anatomy have changed digital technology. And sure. It'll be like, wow, that's I had no idea those connections existed. So
I think it's
really
make
it a lecture kind of series.
And it's fair to say there will definitely be more. I mean, we'll be more Charles, we'll be more Eric Meyer, and I think we'll try and emulate that format.
And our dream here is with live events to be able to do town halls. So, like, imagine Scott Guthrie being here and where you can do live Q&A. They just announced a new release of a product or a new release of ASP.NET Ajax. You can be able to ask questions, see live demos, and really sort of advance the state of video on the web.
All right, we have another question. Who's this from, Larry? We don't know. What was the shape logo symbol you made with your food in the cafeteria in the Halloween video?
De Hat! De Hat's from the Windows Server team. So this was...
Who thinks I need new glasses? I mean, come on.
I was just going for something that was sort of spirally. There was no actual...
Oh, really?
It was one of the only things that didn't have meaning.
It wasn't the Dharma symbol, like some kind of, you know, swan...
No. It was really just a bunch of spirals and spirals and sort of making the negative space
feel
inward. Go with
the Dharma symbol thing with me.
Well,
we need like a lost conspiracy.
Well, there was a bunch of tie-ins to different thinking in terms of rearranging the food, but and somebody caught the bug, by the way, the Volkswagen bug that was used. That was actually a plant. So, like, you see everything as bugs, including the car.
You know, I didn't get that. I was looking at it and I said, "Why do you have a Volkswagen Beetle?" I was like, "Oh, I know. It's irony because the Beetle's such a reliable car; they never break down. That's why." And no, it's called a bug. So anyway, that's just me being silly. Does the new C9 guy in the newest Life at Microsoft video mean some changes in the website?
Well, yes, we've actually talked about this. This is a great question.
Good question.
We do have a video that we had talked about. We had Jeff Sanquist, Duncan McKenzie, and
Nishant. Yep.
Come on this week on Channel 9 and
Nishant
talk
Guitari.
About, I think we called it Revolution 9.
I think
it was
called
named
Revolution
after
yep.
Jamie's artwork that he had done for PDC.
Sure.
But what it is we're doing UI. our UX update to the Channel 9 site. We've added things like training courses, which you actually see live today. We're going to add smooth streaming, is another feature that we'll be adding very shortly.
Yep, and obviously the new 9 guy. Yeah, we have to have some new graphics, and we'll see how they get incorporated over time. You will see the new 9 guy, the updated 9 guy. He's the Millennium 9 guy.
Yes, and this was actually, we had Niners go and take a vote and decide which of the 9 guys should be the new 9 guy.
Yeah.
And that was the winning design.
That was the winning design, yeah. And look, how about this? Charles Torrey, Carmine 007, make sure you add him to your Twitter following list, because I'm sure you'll have some insightful comments there. He's just jumped in and said, upcoming lectures, yes. What's coming in new lectures? Larry, what was that? Brian Beckman on covariance, contravariance, and black holes. So that's coming up soon.
That's when you
and
know you Crispies. Love like
I don't know why he added that at the end, but you know we'll kind of see what happens.
That's a classic Brian Beckman when there's like something, new language features and how they map to black holes.
And how they map to black holes, yeah.
And I will say, Thomas Lewis is asking us for, that we should ask for a clothing budget. Now, will you actually say
seriously.
What this is for?
So this is a very Larry shirt, and when you, what's that? Larry, as in like it's bright and... Not as in G'day, Larry Larson here. It's a bright shirt, and you're not meant to wear patterns like this. You're not meant to have stripes or intricate patterns. However, we are stress testing our encoder, and so complicated patterns and colors actually put load on the CPU. So there's a scientific reason for me to be wearing this shirt, and you have just come to work in your pajamas. Well done.
And I am monochrome, buddy. This is how we're supposed to roll.
That's terrible. Oh, you're doing the film noir.
Yeah, exactly.
This is black and white Dan Fernandez. Did we finish Link Light? I feel like
yes,
we're kind of... Oh, okay.
It was a provider. Okay, so are you planning to make all shows in Channel 9 live?
No.
Absolutely not. Considering how big an epic fail this is so far.
I know.
No.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, who knows? Tomorrow's
I think it depends
day.
On the video, too.
Yeah.
So it's obviously hard to shoot something like the Halloween special live,
yeah.
Although that would be kind of cool.
And actually, this is costing $100,000 a minute because we've got an HD satellite feed, you know, to Jupiter. Okay,
so we'll move on to the next one, which is
back to the agenda.
An MSDN article on
Ninjas or Pirates.
Oh.
And that's from Charlie Erickson, Ninjas or Pirates. Now, here's what I can't answer. Ninjas. I'm in the ninja camp.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, really? You're a ninja person?
Yeah, I thought you were going to be like pirates.
Excellent.
There's something about like the Somali pirates that have really like... If you look at two stocks, pirates in Somalia went down.
Ninjas.
And then, yeah, ninjas stay steady.
Cool. All right. How to detect and avoid memory leaks.
All right,
so... This is an art. Like, I feel like, you know, there's always talks about, you know, the new a new way and a different way to avoid memory leaks because it's, you know, you've got to play with it.
Yeah, so I think one of the interesting ways to do it is to actually, and what this example is to build a sample that has memory leaks.
Sure.
Like, it's designed to have them, so you can actually go in, see what happens when you click the button that would say, for example, do a bunch of user handles and break an app. You can actually see how it works, right? So there's a bunch of examples that show, and you can actually detect and just see the memory churning. You know, Windows, for example, has 10,000 user handles, I believe, in GDI. You go over that, and you're going to have a memory leak.
Are we going to talk about Windows 7 yet? From
PM4? Windows 7.
We did already. We talked about themes.
What else
should we talk about Windows
7? We talked about Windows 7 themes, and what else did we talk about Windows 7?
I think it might have been just that. Well, no.
Oh, yeah, the VHD tool only works in Windows 7.
Yeah. So there you go. We're talking about Windows 7.
This is...
This week's news has been kind of a bit light on for Windows 7. What's this?
This is my favorite comment so far from Bass on C9. Get Eric Meyer on the show for shirt stress testing the encoder. Which is ever so true.
Eric, you're welcome here anytime to help us stress test the encoder.
So I've talked to Charles about this. I really think we need to do something where it's just like an Eric cam.
Yeah.
Where it's literally just like a Ustream thing, and it just follows him around, like whatever meetings he goes into, like anything.
I think
Eric would so be down for this.
Well, the Silverlight team could build in like some kind of plug-in for the player where you kind of click on Eric Meyer mode, and all of a sudden just the tie-dye, you know, lava lamp interface just kind of comes in front of you. Anyway. We will definitely do that. It's a great suggestion.
Okay. So, let's see. I see you guys aren't up to date on the recent
Somali ninja crime sprees.
What?
Yeah, actually, there was a boat full of Somali pirates dressed as ninjas for Halloween. I actually thought that was really bad taste, but no, I made that up. That's not true. What's next? Power Commands 10. back to the agenda.
Yes, so Power Commands for Visual Studio 2010. This comes to us from...
ADDQFA? Is that the Power Command?
You're so distracting sometimes.
That's why you invited me on.
Exactly. Up, up, down, down. This is not the Konami code. You add this to Visual Studio, and this is the version that works in Visual Studio 2010. So what this allows you to do is have a bunch of just, I'd say, convenience methods. So, like, let's say, for example, I just want to compile one C-sharp page, and I want to throw it to a command prompt. In here, in Solution Explorer, you right-click, and you can say, open a command prompt, or open a file explorer here. So maybe I'm copy-pasting that file, maybe I'm doing whatever. It's just a bunch of nice features in Visual Studio. Now, they only worked in 2008. Now they work in 2010.
Cool.
So, and it looks like we got some another question. What is the system requirement of VS 2010 Beta 2 because it runs too slowly instead of Beta 1?
That's from Atman 20.
Yeah, so this is actually a great point. If you go to Jason Sanders' blog right now, he has a survey.
But not right now, because they want to watch the rest of
the stream. Okay, open a new tab, finished. blogs.msn.com, Jason Z. There is a user survey that is asking people that are running VS 2010 Beta 2 about the user experience. What do you think about, and the number one thing is really, it's all about, is the performance of Visual Studio 2010. So take that survey, give them the data on what you're running, what your Visual Studio experience is. I noticed, for example, in Visual Studio, I was opening up a Windows Forms project, and the toolbox, for example, was drawing pretty slowly, and that was probably on a cold start. But all in all, if you're looking to give them that feedback in terms of performance, there's also a great video by Rico Mariani that Charles had done that goes through the stuff that they've done for WPF performance.
Cool.
So, but give them your feedback directly. Okay, so we got another question from NT Misa. Why VS 2010 will host F-sharp IDE but not Iron Python?
I was just
Iron
asking
Ruby.
This question before we started rolling. I wasn't. I don't really understand the question. I'll let you answer that one.
It's
not the answer.
It's a good question. I think a lot of people have questions about like what languages we're supporting,
sure.
And there's even been talk of why isn't there an F-sharp Express
right.
product. I'd say give the team feedback. I know there's an IDE that you can download from CodePlex specifically for Iron Python that actually uses the Visual Studio integrated shell. So it's like a standalone IDE for Iron Python. But some of these is probably because it's a dynamic language runtime, right? So it's DLR features. It's not F-sharp tends to be maybe somewhat more general purpose, but you know I think that's debatable as well. So, and some of this stuff, it may just come down to resources and what are the priorities for the team. I know if you read John Lamb's blog, some of the priorities for the Iron Ruby team is being able to have a Rails-like experience and have as good an experience as you have on Ruby on Rails as on Iron Ruby and on the DLR. So I think that's probably where their priority is. But again, I'm speaking for John Lamb. I'd give him the specific feedback for Iron Ruby.
Exactly how I would have answered the question, too, as well. So, yeah.
Okay, so we got another question. Do you know of plans to update the UI on blogs.msdn.com? You know, I don't
I'll pass
know.
On that one. No, I don't know.
I don't know. I know Charlie Owens was doing some investigations, and I think they're on some old version of IntelliGen, and they, you know, there's a number of things where people have sort of pleasantly complained both inside and outside the
sure.
company in terms of blogs.msdn, and they added a spam filter as well,
mm-hmm.
a Kismet, which is I believe what we're using as well for sites like Mix, PDC, etc. But no, we don't know directly from that team.
Okay.
We're
at the end.
Yeah.
The end of the formal agenda.
Yeah, so we'll see if there's any other questions or comments, or we'll go to our picks of the week.
Well, let's have a quick look what's up there. So, how about this? We've been, we're on Follow Friday. Oh, it is Friday today, and a few people have put the @Channel9Live handle up there. Thank you very much for that. What else we got, Larry?
Get the head in the box back. For people who don't know that reference, a great friend of mine.
That was my Halloween costume.
No, that was Ari Bixhorn and Chris Flores, my old manager.
Oh, yeah.
Had a great show called VBTV.
Right.
And Eric Meyer was a character that was head in the box.
So
always wanted to do VBTV again, but it's one of those things where you got to find the right people.
I thought you might have been referring to what was your Halloween costume? Did you get dressed this year?
I did not.
You were bah humbugging Halloween.
We were, well, because I was answering the door, a newborn.
Oh, right.
So,
you were a newborn?
No.
Oh, you had your newborn.
Yeah. So we dressed our kid up in a lion cub, so he would be forever scarred. What about yourself? What did you dress up as?
Well, Halloween's not very big in Australia. We don't really do it. But at the kind of the 11th hour, my wife informed me that we had been invited to a party and I had to have a costume. So I walked up to 15th Avenue here in Seattle. There's a balloon store. And this was just at the height of the little boy that blew away, or potentially blew away, in a balloon. So I bought a silver balloon, and I went to the grocery store and asked for an apple box, stuck my head through it, and I was Balloon Boy. And it cost me all of $3.50, and it was the greatest Halloween costume ever.
Nice.
Yeah, how do we segue to that?
We got some comments, compliments. You guys are great. Performance is great. Let's see. So changes in the Visual Studio 2008 solution files, can't use them at all. Yeah. I have seen some people say that stuff. I think your CS Proj files should be fine. It should only be your SLN files. So it may mean you need to reload just your CS Proj files. See if that fixes it. And we do know, and we had mentioned this before, if you try installing Visual Studio 2010, make sure to remove the Silverlight 3 SDK before installing.
So we have a question here from, Picks of the Week. They're waiting for Picks of the Week. That's the
Picks
very
the
end.
Week!
That's at the end. We'll get there in just a sec.
Wait, I want to see zombies. I saw something on zombies.
Someone see zombies. Zombies. Oh, yeah, I want to see zombies in the next Halloween-themed video, Dan.
You know, I'd love to do a sequel where it's just like me, like, randomly killing other people. But I think
Zombie
Laurentina
Dan.
Did a great job.
They did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I don't know how to bring them back to life.
I don't know. And I don't know how to get them to stop wearing those freaky fly costumes. They just keep turning up to work in that costume. It's kind of scary.
I thought those were awesome.
They were very cool.
Yeah.
And someone else has said, how many live viewers did you get? The answer is we actually don't know. We just before we started rolling the cameras, we realized we actually have no tool to work out how many viewers we have. So I'm just going to say 20 million? 25 million.
25 million.
25 million. What does Lost get? Lost gets an episode about
Now, how much
like
of that?
Million?
We get a dollar per user, right?
We do, yeah. You and I, we split it.
Mo money.
All right, Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Let's do it.
Woohoo! All right, so my pick of the week, in the spirit of Halloween, if you haven't seen this, this is great to mess with friends. It's a Coded for Fun article called Halloween Gremlins. Now, what it does is it actually goes through at random time intervals. It'll switch the applications that are going. It'll move windows around. It'll automatically scroll a window. So it shows you some C++ stuff to do some window handle automation. The other really bad part, too, is it does... background noise detection. So you can see in the screenshot, depending on the signal that's sent through your audio, it will actually do different things. For example, it'll shake your windows if it sees a certain decibel, but it won't do it at all decibels, right? So you can actually control the threshold.
It's kind of random.
Yes. So the idea is to mess with friends.
Yeah.
We show you how to do it, and that way it's a great little virus.
And our good friend Alex Zambelli, who's helping us behind the scenes, actually pointed out this is essentially a virus. So what we're saying here is go to your friends' PCs when they're unlocked and put a virus on it. Yeah, it's great fun.
And kudos to Randall Moss for doing this. And Sarah Ford gave it a shout-out on her CodePlex internal email. So.
It is. And it's not really a virus. We should be silly.
No. But, you know, if you want to learn how to do cool Windows automation,
yeah,
there you go.
Do you remember back in the 90s, there was a Trojan that went around that had like a, I can't remember the name of it, but it had this little torch icon, and you'd email it to your friends and say, hey, load this fun app. And it basically did the same thing, but it had a remote desktop feature for it, so you could take screenshots of what their desktop was. You could open up URLs remotely. It was fantastically scary.
See, I think one of the classic ones for Halloween is look real closely, see if you can see the hidden man. Yeah, exactly, and it's like it turns your machine really loud, and then it scares the... You know.
Yeah, or it just corrupts all the data on your hard drive, and you stand laughing at the door.
There's YouTube videos that you can search of like 8-year-old kids looking for that, and they're just like in tears.
Oh, I know. Actually, you can see one of me bursting into tears as well. I get very scared very easily.
I'm so nervous.
There it is, Mort Goldman.
Mort Goldman.
We said it was going to come, and it did.
It did.
And this is my pick of the week.
Yeah.
And I just want to say for the record, I have no recollection of that photo. I don't know where it came from.
I love the internet.
Dan found this photo, and I honestly don't know where it came from. Yeah. My pick of the week is Life at Microsoft. I think this is episode 3?
Episode 2.
There is
another video that has been recorded and not released yet.
And I believe this was published today. And Tina, I think this is one of her brainchilds, and it's incredibly funny. Go and watch it. It's on Channel 9 right now. It's the pick of the week for me because my very dear friend, Clint Rutgers, who made me a wonderful arts and craft project while I was away in Australia for 4 weeks, gets beaten up in this video for about 35 seconds. He does a fantastic job. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme would be very proud of the beating that Clint takes in this.
And I love the shooting of that scene too.
It's really good, actually. You guys should definitely see it just for the cinematography. But yeah, Clint gets the crap beat out of him. Yeah, I mean, hey, Clint.
And one of my favorite scenes is actually the Microsoft Yahoo. I love you. No. Do you? I don't know.
It's very good.
Brilliant. Last question here. What about Silverlight on the Zune HD? I know nothing about Silverlight on the Zune HD.
I know nothing about that as well, but it's a good question.
Yeah, I know. So the ability to, the only way you can do this is the Zune HD allows you to play X and A games. There is a project that we've covered on this week on Channel 9 that will take any Silverlight game and convert it into X and A. If you really have a Silverlight game, you can run this conversion tool to convert it into X and A. But we've talked about this before. You actually have to have the IDE environment built to add an X and A game. That should be fixed sometime in the future.
Right.
But that is probably the best way to do it.
And we had a shout-out again from Iceland. There's three of you from Iceland. I've been to Iceland. Beautiful country. Love it. Hello from Iceland.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know how to say anything in Icelandic, so I can't really prove I was there. But hello, Iceland. Thanks for watching. Mike Swanson, a.k.a. Anywhere, A-N-Y-W-A-R-E, follow him on Twitter, has said, to help with stats, maybe everyone watching could send a tweet to @Channel9Live. If you want to do that, that's fine. But there are 25 million of you, so it might take Larry a while to go through it all. But yeah, feel free.
Yeah, and I think kudos for those people that weren't Twitter users that actually joined to get us some live Q&A.
Yeah, that's much appreciated. And Dan, we're about to hit the 45-minute mark.
Yes, so...
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of our longest this week's on Channel 9.
Yes. Too long, perhaps?
No,
this is good. The shape of things to come. Perhaps we will be doing this again in the very near future.
And we thank all of you, especially those of you in different time zones that are tuning in and hopefully having a beer and relaxing at midnight.
Yes, and feel free to DM us at @CH9Live if you want to give us some feedback on the experience. Did anything not work for you? Did you have some strange bitrate issues? We'd love to know your feedback. Do we have a public email address for this week on Channel 9?
CH9@Microsoft.com.
Yeah, if you want to send screenshots or you had some specific feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for watching.
Thanks again.
I'm not Brian Keller.
And we will catch you. Do we want to say we're doing this live? Oh, no. Actually, the next show.
Oh, yes. Actually, we may watch this space. We may be doing... We will be doing, it's the very last PDC Countdown show next Friday, probably exactly the same time. We'll update on the Twitter account. You can see Mike Swanson and Jennifer Ritzinger do their thing as the final PDC Countdown show live on the Intertubes.
Yeah, now the question is, are they going to keep it to 10 minutes? Because if they're taking questions, I don't think they will.
I think they should. I want to see the timer. And like halfway through a response to a tweet, we just kind of hit stop on the encoder. And we kind of pause frame.
Okay, well, let's call it a day. And thanks everyone for tuning in.
Thank you. Oh, Jeff, are we still streaming?
No.
Okay, we are still streaming. Jeff Sandquist is going to put his head in and say hello. You need to kneel down, Jeff. There he is. There's Jeff.
We're really live.
Hello, Internet.
Hello, the Internet, says Jeff Sandquist. And with that, I think that's a fitting end to the show. And let's...
This is where the clown with the big cane comes from.